Please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and I'll be reading the first 18 verses. Be ye therefore followers of God as their children, and walk in love as Christ also had loved us and had given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather the giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, had any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore, he said, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, key verse for the day is verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. And I just like this morning, by the grace of God, to call us to remembrance and to highlight some passages that we're familiar with, but that are very key and important in our living the Christian life. Quite often we ascend intellectually to the knowledge of what should be taking place in our lives as Christians. And sometimes we don't talk about the nitty-gritty of how this happens, what happens. When we know that God sent his son to redeem us, and we've just had a wonderful remembrance feast, remembering the Lord Jesus Christ and how he's redeemed us. And we are redeemed to live a life that's pleasing to God and to do his will and his purpose as we remain here on earth. We are to do his will, that his will would be done on earth. And we just read the passage as Paul wrote to the Ephesians of how they should live and be followers of God as their children, and how that they should avoid certain things, the acts and the life of those that are in darkness, and that they should be living in the light. And I want to talked this morning about living in the Spirit, the Spirit-filled life is our topic this morning, the Spirit-filled life. And first, I'd like to consider the purpose of the Spirit-filled life. The purpose of the Spirit-filled life. The Holy Spirit is the means by which the believer is given the power and the enablement to do the will of God. We just read a list of what that looks like in the life of the believer. We read a list of things that are not a part of a spirit-filled life, and then we also looked at things that are indeed a part of the spirit-filled life. I'd like to just turn also to Galatians chapter 2. Chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So these are the things that should characterize our lives as Christians. But how is that done? How is it done? How do we exhibit love? It's not natural for us to be loving. Our natural tendency is to be selfish and to be mean. When we come into the world as fallen sinners, we are selfish. We are mean. How do we exhibit this love and the joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith? Well, the way we do that is because God gives us the Holy Spirit to live within us, to give us the power or enablement to do this. As Jesus was about to ascend into heaven, in Acts 1:8, he said to his disciples, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." So there was a task for them to do. They were to proclaim the gospel, the good news of the gospel, that he had come, that he had given to them, and they were to spread the good news of the gospel, beginning first with where they were, and going out even into the utmost parts of the earth. But how were they going to do this? They didn't even have the internet. They didn't even have high-speed transportation. How were they going to do this? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, before he left them and he went to heaven, he told them how they were going to do it. It's the same way that we have to do it. It's not because of our tools that we have, modern conveniences, or inventions that we have, but it is through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that gives us the enablement, and we use the tools in his power and no other way. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. The word in Greek here is dunamis, and it means an intrinsic power to carry out a function. In Acts 1:8, dunamis is associated with the coming of the Holy Spirit upon a person, giving that person the supernatural power capable of accomplishing the task that Jesus assigns. So the Holy Spirit is given to us so that when we have the Spirit-filled life, we are enabled with the power of God to do the will of God. And it doesn't matter the actual things that you're doing. There might be some good things that you might be doing by our standards. But unless you're doing what the Spirit is directing you to, then you're not doing the will of God. It is the Holy Spirit that will guide us. It is the Holy Spirit that gives us enablement. It is the Holy Spirit that gives us strength. Quite often, we might grow weary in our well-doing. Quite often, we might not have within us that fortitude that we need to continue. But the Holy Spirit is going to give us strength. He's going to give us power. As we live our lives from day to day, we have an enemy that is against us. We have an enemy that will entice us. We have an enemy that tempts us. Even as he, in the beginning, tempted Adam and Eve. And he continually is seeking to do what he can to thwart the purposes of God. And he knows that God has the church and has redeemed a people for himself and has the purpose to fulfill here on earth. And he knows that God has decided to use men, us human beings that have received him to fulfill that purpose. And so he is all the time trying to entice us, to distract us, even to have us to do good things that are not the things that God would have us to do. We need to know the difference between what is good and what is best. We need to know the difference between what is something that's okay and what is the will of God. How is God directing? And so we need to be filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that will speak to you at times of temptation, at times of just not knowing what to do, which way to go. The Holy Spirit will guide. Romans 8:8-9. Let's turn there. Romans 8:8-9. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So even if we're doing something that's okay or not necessarily wrong, you cannot please God if you're acting in the flesh. You have to be acting in the Spirit of God. But it says in verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. The Holy Spirit is given to the believer in order that he might enable, in order that he might be enabled to actually live in Christ's likeness. That's why the Holy Spirit is given. He enables us to live in Christ's likeness. The Lord Jesus Christ, as he lived here on earth, though he indeed always was and forever will be God himself, lived his life as a man. He gave us that example. He said, I do only those things that please the Father. And everything that he did was guided by the Holy Spirit. And he gave us the same way for us to live in communion with God, finding out what his will and direction is and living that out. The Lord Jesus Christ had all the power in the world and the universe to create the worlds, and yet he did nothing of his own will. Not even would he turn stones into bread so that he can eat because he was hungry. And yet the wicked one is all the time trying to tempt us to act independent of the will and purposes of God. Whatever is not of faith is sin. The Holy Spirit is given to the believer in order that he might enable us to actually live in Christ's likeness, the same way that the Lord Jesus Christ did the will of the Father and completed all things that the Father had given him. It's the same way we are to do it. And so I go to my second point. We know why we have the Holy Spirit. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to give us power. And we live the holy, we live a Spirit-filled life that we might do the will of the Father. Second point is the call to the Spirit-filled life. We've already read from Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. The command is very clear. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. When we consider the contrast that is here to being filled with wine, a key concept emerges. Our actions are to be guided and controlled by the Holy Spirit. Someone who is drunk with wine is guided and controlled by the wine. And sometimes we use the word spirits to refer to such wine. And it's because the things that they say, the things that they do, the way they act, the way they move, is because of the control or influence of that they have within them. And of course, we know that there are other substances that people use that make them do things that they may not otherwise do. Well, in contrast to being controlled by the wine or some other substance, we are to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. So when we think of being filled with the Holy Spirit, the concept is it's not a pouring in of, but it's the control. All of us, as we look in the book of Romans, that have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts, have received the Holy Spirit living within us. And it says, we just read it, any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. So if you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, then you have the Holy Spirit living in you. But just because you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit does not mean that you are filled with the Holy Spirit. We have to go from just being indwelt by the Holy Spirit to be filled with or controlled by the Holy Spirit, guided by the Holy Spirit. So, having the Holy Spirit in us is something that that all believers have. But God's will is that we not only have the Holy Spirit living within us, but that he is in control and he's guiding us. The first elements of Paul's prayer for the Ephesian saints was that they would be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. Ephesians chapter 3. All right, Ephesians chapter 3, I think let's go ahead and read. Let's back up. Let's see. All right, back up to verse 14. Let's read from verse 14. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's saying what he's praying for these saints. I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory. And here's the first thing. What does he pray for the saints first? He prays that God would grant them, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. So he's praying for these saints, these elements that they, he wants Christ to dwell in their hearts, that they might understand the breadth, the length, the depth, and height, and that their love, that they, the love of Christ might fill their hearts. But first, he recognizes this is an important thing first, that they are filled with the Spirit, that they were strengthened with the Spirit. The Spirit is there to give us power and give us strength. The power that the Holy Spirit gives us is not just one big bang that happens one time. The word dunamis is an intrinsic power that's continuing on every day. As you are enticed, as you are tempted, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right then at that each moment. And the Holy Spirit is guiding us every step of the way. The Holy Spirit, we cannot live the Christian life, the godly life, apart from the Holy Spirit. That is the day by day way that this happens, to live a life that's pleasing to God. The Christ-filled life is the Spirit-filled life. The Word-filled life is the Spirit-filled life, because the Holy Spirit will lift up Christ. The Holy Spirit will make Christ everything to us. The Holy Spirit will take the Word of God, all of the Word of God, the Holy Spirit being the author of the Bible, will take all of it and make it relevant for us in our everyday, moment by moment, our experience. He will give us strength and guidance. Now, Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7 says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." We have already seen how this is made possible only by the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. But the command is here. Colossians chapter 2 has refreshed us of that which we have received and that which we have accepted in the Lord Jesus Christ, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We sang the song this morning, so dear, so very dear to God, that more dear we cannot be in the person of his Son. We are as near as he. And we have received so many blessings as listed in the epistles, and we started in Ephesians, and we did not read those, but we are, most of us, we are familiar with the blessings, the God riches that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now Colossians is saying, since you have received all of these blessings, and since you have received the Lord Jesus Christ, he says then, the command is, walk, so walk ye in him. So walk ye in him. It's not good enough just to say, the Lord Jesus, I accept you into my heart, and then go about the way you were living before. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. That's a command to us, saints. That's a command to us to live a life that's godly, to live a life that's controlled by the Holy Spirit. We see in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 through 24. Let's take a look at that. Some things that we should put off, some things that we should put on. How are we going to have power to do this? How will we have the strength to do this? It's going to be through the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4, let's read from verse 22. All right, that ye put off concerning the former conversation or way of life, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And then Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 8. Now, here's the concept. Watch for it again. You take off the old, you put on the new. But now you put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. And instead, what did you do? You put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him, where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, or love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So, there's a description of the old life contrasted with the description of the new life. That which is put off and that which is put on in its place instead. Now I want to talk on the third point. How does one experience the Spirit-filled life? So we've looked at that the Holy Spirit is given to us that we might have the enablement, the strength, the power to actually live the Christ-filled life. We've also seen that not only is that a possibility, but it's a command. It is something that we need to be doing. We are in disobedience if we're not living the Spirit-filled life. But how? How does this happen? How do we do this? What is the nitty-gritty? Do we just say, well, I need the Holy Spirit, so I need the Holy Spirit? Do we just, go in a service where someone puts their hands on you and repeat things until you are zapped? What does this look like? Practically speaking, what does it mean for us to have a Spirit-filled life? Well, before we understand how we experience a Spirit-filled life, we must first understand the trifold nature of man. Among other scriptures, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 teaches us that God has given us a spirit and soul and body. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ." By the five senses of our bodies, we interact with the physical world around us. And with our mind, our will, and emotions, we interact with the psychological world around us. However, it is only through our spirit that we can discern the things of God. It's only through our spirit that we can discern the things of God. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." There are a lot of things that we might know and learn and understand and read about and have an intellectual knowledge of and an assent to. But our spirits need to be quickened. So the natural man, though he was given a spirit, that spirit is dead until he receives the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is through his spirit that dead spirit is quickened, brought alive at the time of salvation. And so Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, and you had he quickened. I use the King James just because that's what I've been memorizing in for some time. But that word quickened, it just simply means made alive. Okay? You have been brought to life. Now, is he talking about the body? Of course not. You already have your body. It's the life. He's talking about your spirit. The natural man has a spirit that's non-responsive. He doesn't respond to God. And then he, when he becomes saved, his spirit is now alive. The spirit is that which by which we can discern spiritual things. Now, just as we, our spirit allowed us to understand the gospel and respond to the gospel, the Christian is to continue to become strong in his spirit, to feed the spirit. A spiritual life, as I mentioned already, is the same life of Christ. And how do you get there? A spiritual life is the word-filled life. If you compare the book of Ephesians, second half of the book of Ephesians with the second half of the book of Colossians, Ephesians talks about and be filled with the Spirit. It gives a whole description of what happens and the life in your family and the relationships. If you compare it with Colossians chapter 3, we read, and let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The same description. Because the Holy Spirit works with the word of God. When you memorize the scriptures, the Holy Spirit is the one that brings those scriptures to your remembrance at that point of temptation, at that point of wondering what direction to go. The Holy Spirit will use the word of God. Well, we need to exercise our spirit. We need to become mighty in the spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 8 and 9. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the spirit, in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man has not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. We discern with our spirit what God wants us to do. Sometimes the things you might have a decision that's not neither right nor wrong, but you need to know what is the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And it's going to be through your spirit. Your spirit responds to the Holy Spirit of God. You have a spirit as a believer that is no longer dead, but a spirit that is alive. It has been quickened. And so that's why I say that before you can talk about being filled with the Spirit, you need to understand that you have a spirit, a soul, and a body. And God speaks to us. His spirit bears witness with our spirit. Let's just turn to Romans chapter 8, and we'll see that. Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, this context here is talking about that of salvation. But the point, the application that I'm talking about is that the Holy Spirit communicates with us through our spirit. So we need to be aware of that, that God is speaking to us. And it's not through our minds. God gives us our minds, our will, our emotions to make decisions and to help us. But these are all have to be subject to the guiding and leading of God through our spirit. I trust that this is all would be able to help us as we seek to discern the will of God, and as we seek to obey the will of God, that we would be in tune with His Spirit, that He might speak to us and enable us to live a life that's pleasing to Him. Shall we pray? Our blessed God and the Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that you've given us, that we might be empowered to do your will, that we might share the gospel with all those around us, that we might live a life that's pleasing in your sight, that we might put off the old things and put on the new things, that we would honor you in everything that we do. Dismiss us now, we pray, with your rich blessings, and cause us always to be attentive to what your spirit is saying to our spirit, that we might do your will, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.